Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11
this evening, and I have referenced, I believe, every single Wednesday of 2026 that I have been here, and there's been a couple of Wednesdays where Brother Mark has filled in for me, which I always appreciate his willingness to do that, but every other Wednesday that I've been here for 2026, I think that I have referenced Hebrews 11 in verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we have referenced that verse through every service of this year. We're one quarter through 2026. Today is April the 1st, and so we have 3 months in the books. And it's hard to believe that the first quarter of the year is behind us. But here we are in the month of April. And as we've gone through on Wednesdays, both in the morning, Wednesday morning prayer and Bible study, and in the evening, Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study, we have, like the psalmist, we have expressed our desire to see God work. That's where we started in Psalm 19. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. I preached the message, but I was hopeful that as I preached the message, it would not just be a single voice that's pleading and expressing a desire to see God work, but a corporate desire that we would, each and every one of us, we would desire to see God work in our hearts personally and in our families, in our church, in our community, in our country, in our world. And I believe this evening that God is at work. I believe that. You see God working, God saving people still. He's still using the gospel. He's still answering prayer. He's still working in our lives. I'm thankful for each day that I have an opportunity to open the Bible and read the scriptures, and God speaks to me. And it's a blessing, and it's an encouragement that God indeed is at work. And we desire to see Him do greater works in these days in which we're living. We find that as we have expressed our desire, we've also acknowledge the fact that God is able, and there's nothing too difficult for our God. There's no situation, no problem, no individual that's too hard, that's too difficult for our God. We've acknowledged as well that the only thing that can limit our omnipotent God is my doubt, my unbelief, my lack of faith. The reality this evening is that as we examine our own lives and as we've spent the last few weeks looking at the subject of doubt in particular, we find that we often may have to say, as that man did in the Gospel of Mark, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And we may, like the disciples, have to get alone with the Lord Jesus Christ and hear the Lord say to us, because of your unbelief. And we got to deal with that. And so as we've had the opportunity to look at a number of passages of Scripture and express these things and understand these principles biblically, we now come to Hebrews chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter number 11, again, verse 6, a verse that I've quoted and referenced each Wednesday throughout this calendar year. And it's often been referred to as the Hall of Faith chapter. And some of you are familiar with Hall of Fame, and you can use that terminology, and we know what that refers to here in America with regard to sports and what have you. But we find that this portion of Scripture has often been referred to as the Hall of Faith chapter. And I'd like to spend several weeks or months, however long it takes us to get through it here, to really just walk through this chapter and to see what God does in and through His people as they live by faith. Faith is an action. Faith, simply defined, is believing God, taking God at His word. We might use the word trust, and that can express that same idea or concept of the word faith. And we understand this evening that as you look at Hebrews chapter number 11 here, that you'll find that the Bible says in each of these records, by faith, and then the name of the character, and then something that they did. Their faith was revealed through their action. What was it that allows for us to see their faith is their obedience to whatever God said, their response to whatever God had instructed or commanded. And so you'll find that throughout this passage of Scripture, you will find that by faith, so-and-so did whatever the particular record is giving us of their behavior and their life of faith. If God says something once, it's important. You believe that? I believe if God says something once, it's important. On four different occasions, and I'll reference, we're not going to go look at the verses, but I'll reference them if you want to jot them in your notes. The book of Habakkuk in chapter number 2 and verse number 4. So Habakkuk 2 and verse number 4. And then three times in the New Testament, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 17. And then over in the book of Galatians, it's Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 11. And then right here in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10 and verse number 38. And so on four occasions, Habakkuk 2 verse number 4, Romans 1 verse number 17, Galatians 3 verse number 11, and Hebrews 10 verse number 38. Mark, you started to word it right after I said Habakkuk 2. What does it say? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, do you think that God has that recorded for us four times in the Scriptures because He forgot that He said it the first time? No. There's an emphasis that is placed on this statement. Why? Because God's people, the just, are to live by faith. The world, and before I got saved and before you got saved, all we could do is live by sight. But now we live by faith. We find that the chapter begins this way in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. A great declaration with regard to the creation and the work of our Creator and how He spoke it all into existence. And again, the truth of creation is not isolated to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. The truth of creation is throughout the entirety of God's Word. Then we come to our text for this evening. The Bible says in verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I've simply titled the message this evening, By Faith, Abel. And so you'll know the titles for all of the next messages on Wednesday. You just read through the text and you'll see the by faith and whoever the next person is. And that will be the title for the next week's message. And so next week, verse number 5, by faith Enoch. It's going to be real simple for you to know the text and the title. And so we look at this and we see by faith Abel. And it's interesting because what God does here in Hebrews chapter number 11 in this Hall of Faith chapter is He goes all the way back to the very beginning, right? Not with Adam and Eve, but with Abel, Cain and Abel. And He begins to reveal to us that from the earliest days of creation, of humanity, people were living by faith. And even still to this very day, we, as God's people, the just, we are to live by faith. And so we begin to look at this portion of Scripture in this verse, and we must go back to Genesis chapter 4. And so turn back there quickly, if you will. Genesis chapter 4, we'll look at verses 1 through 7 as we begin to understand what God is referring to when He says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And so we read the record in Genesis chapter number 4. We begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible tells us this in Genesis 4 and verse number 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now understand in verse number 2, there are two very different people, two very different occupations, but that has nothing to do with whether one would be accepted and one would be rejected. God's just simply giving us the truth of who these men were. It says in verse number 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. We'll pick it up in verse 4 in just a moment. But I want you to notice in verse 3 and 4, the Bible tells us in process of time. So we don't know exactly how much time has passed, but it says in process of time it came to pass, and you read that Cain brought an offering and Abel brought an offering. The details with regard to the offering are recorded for us in verse 3. Cain brought an offering that was the fruit of the ground, and we find in Abel in verse number 4 that it was the firstlings of his flock. And so we find the distinction with regard to the offering that was brought and the one that Cain brought, the one that Abel brought. As we begin to look at this, we can ask ourselves the question, how did they know that they had to bring an offering? Well, Adam must have communicated that to them. And who communicated it to Adam? Well, God. God communicated to Adam, and Adam communicated to his sons, and his sons bring this offering. Now, you remember in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible records for us the entrance of sin into the world. And so as soon as sin entered into the world, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve, their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And what did they do? They hid themselves, but they did something else. They tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. Right? And the fig leaves, that would have been really the works of their own hands, and they're trying to cover their nakedness. And so we find that God comes into the garden there, and he begins to call for Adam in the garden there, and we find that there's this correspondence that takes place, and Adam very quickly says, it's the wife that you gave me, the woman that you gave me, and she very quickly says it was the serpent. And so then God deals with the serpent, and then he deals with the woman, and then he deals with the man. And then something very significant happens at the end of Genesis chapter number 3, and that's that God provides them with something else. See, the fig leaves, the apron of fig leaves was not sufficient, so God provided them a different covering. What did God provide for them? Covering of skins, right? From an animal. And what had to happen in order for that covering to be provided? Well, an animal had to be slain. That animal being slain, that would have been the blood sacrifice, the blood offering that was made. And so we find that in the garden, in Genesis chapter number 3, that there's this record that God gives us, and he doesn't provide us with every single detail systematically how everything happened, but as you study the scriptures, we find that the method by which Adam and Eve thought they could cover their nakedness was insufficient, and God says that there's got to be an offering made of blood, and you now have these coats of skin to cover, and it's the first example that thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ would come to the cross and shed his blood, that it was already pictured in Genesis chapter number 3. And we find that there in Genesis chapter number 3, this truth was communicated no doubt to Adam and then to his sons. And his sons, in process of time, they bring an offering. And so we see, first of all, as we consider by faith Abel, I want you to see, number 1, that he offered. We see it here in verse number 4. We referenced it in Hebrews 11 in verse number 4. By faith Abel offered unto the Lord a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And what was it that he offered? Well, it says that he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord, look at verse number 4, the end of the verse, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, verse 5, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? By the way, if God didn't love Cain, and if Cain wasn't able to come to God in an acceptable way, there'd be no reason for God to ever speak to Cain. But God spoke to Cain because God loved Cain. For God so loved the world. And so we find that God speaks to Cain because he sees that he's wroth and his countenance had fallen, and he begins to speak with him. And notice in verse number 7 what God says to Cain. He says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." I want you to notice the two phrases that are mentioned in the beginning of verse number 7. One of them is, "if thou doest well," and then the second one, "if thou doest not well." So what is God communicating to Cain? Well, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's an acceptable way and there's an unacceptable way. Does that make sense? And so if thou doest well, what does that mean? Well, you come by the way of blood offering. We might say it this way as New Testament believers: you must come by the way of the cross, right? There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to have redemption. The Bible says that, as we even referenced on Sunday morning, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so we look here and we find that God says to Cain, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted." In other words, he's saying to Cain, if you just come the way that I've communicated to you, if you just come by faith, your offering reveals your faith, then you'll be accepted. But if not, then sin lieth at the door. And so Cain had a decision. Cain had a choice, just like Abel. Listen, this is a real text that helps us understand, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is not a situation of some Calvinistic teaching with regard to some predetermined election. No, this proves to us very plainly in the very early pages of Scripture that God says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted." Aren't you thankful for that? And so we find that as we look at this offering that Abel made, he offered, there's several things that I notice about the offering. Number one, it was an offering that was made by faith. What was his faith? Well, remember on Sunday we talked about the law having a shadow of good things to come, and we reference in Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 15 where the Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so Abel was putting faith in what God said. He was believing that the way to come, the way to approach the Lord, was with blood. By the way, if you were to look and study later on as you go through the Scriptures of the Old Testament, if you're to study the tabernacle, there's only one way to get into the tabernacle. One entrance. And the first piece of furniture that you come to, who knows what it is? The brazen altar. That's the first piece of furniture. Why? Because a sacrifice is required. Blood is necessary. And so we find this evening that this was an offering that was made by faith. By faith Abel offered. Notice it was an offering that was made to God. Cain made an offering. Abel made an offering. This offering that Abel made, he wasn't trying to be in competition with his brother. No, he brought his offering to God, to the Lord. When you live by faith, it's not so that somebody else might see, "Oh man, look at their faith." No, I'm believing God and I'm living for God. The offering, the Bible tells us, was a more excellent sacrifice. It was what God had prescribed. It was according to the verbal word of God, what God had communicated. The offering was accepted by God. The Bible plainly tells us in verse number 4 of Genesis 4, "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." And so we find that it was an offering that was accepted by God. It was an offering that was pleasing to God. Remember, we said this in Hebrews 11 in verse number 6, and it's again a verse that we've quoted all the way through the year. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so we find that he says, by faith Abel. So he offered a sacrifice, an offering that was pleasing to God. We're to live by faith. And all the way back in Genesis chapter number 4, the first reference that we have in Hebrews 11 of those individuals that are going to be recorded in the hall of faith, those that are living by faith, is that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Not only do we see that he offered, but I want you to see number two, he obtained. The Bible says right there in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 4, it says this, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Begin to think about this truth that he offered, but then he obtained. And we see that the verse says here that he obtained witness. Really, the idea of what's being communicated here through this terminology and the verbiage that is used is his testimony is in view. And by the way, when you live a life of faith, it's a testimony. In fact, we have a reputation or a testimony, whether we live by faith or not. But here, the context of an individual that's living by faith, it says, by which he obtained witness. Notice what it says, this testimony, that he was righteous. That he was righteous. Begin to think about that, begin to understand the teaching, and we'd look at even this evening and discuss our own, if we say that we've been declared righteous, we'd understand from a whole canon of Scripture perspective and a New Testament perspective that it's the imputed righteousness of God that's been placed upon the account of us as individuals. Sinners saved by the grace of God. It's not mine righteousness, it's the imputed righteousness of the Lord. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we see that it says that he was righteous through this offering, through his faith, as he would make this offering on this day early on in human history. Thousands of years before Jesus Christ would come to the cross of Calvary, he was living by faith, and he had this testimony, he had this witness that he was righteous. And he was by faith looking forward to one day, we know now as we look back on history, that would come thousands of years later that Christ would come. We look back at Calvary, but we still look back by faith, living now a couple thousand years after Calvary, but we still it's still by faith. Notice in the book of Romans, if you will, Romans chapter number 4, and let me just say as you turn to Romans chapter number 4, the only way to be declared righteous is through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's all through faith. It's not by works. And we see very plainly what's explained to us in Romans chapter number 4 with regard to Abraham. And if you look in verse number 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And then notice this in verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? It's always a good thing to make an appeal to God's Word. Well, this is my opinion. Well, this is what I think. Well, this is... No. What does the Bible say? You know how many times I hear people take verses of Scripture out of context? I mean, all the time. I know I've used the illustration about over at the pizza place where they put the tip jar out and they said, you know, money is the root of evil, or money is evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. And I had to correct them on it because it just kind of bothered me. And I said, money is, you're asking for money, you want tip, and you're putting a Bible verse on there that's not even accurate. And people will quote verses of Scripture and they don't even know why they're quoting it, the context in which they're using it. Well, the Bible says that God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. Do you know the context? It has nothing to do with Genesis, actually. It wasn't said in Genesis. It was actually said in Malachi and then repeated in Romans. But by the way, that was like 2,000 years after the situation with Jacob and Esau. And so you hear people that take verses out of context all the time, and so here's the appeal. What saith the Scripture? Let's go to the Bible. What does God's Word say? So notice he says this, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. That phrase is important. We'll see it again in verse number 5. But notice in verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it, his belief in God, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, Notice what it says here, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So in verse number 3, it was Abraham believing God that was counted for righteousness. In verse number 5, his faith is counted for righteousness. Why? Because faith is believing God. Same thing. And so we find that what God's telling us here is that the truth of Abraham and his righteousness, it had nothing to do with circumcision. It had to do with his belief in God. Now, circumcision was the outworking, the evidence that he believed God. It was that stepping out in the faith being revealed through the action. We find that there's many that have taken issue with the book of James, and we're preaching through the book of James on Sunday mornings. And I said this at the very beginning of the year as I preached that introductory message with regard to the book of James, that there are many that have misunderstandings about the book and so on and so forth, and I went through a number of those. And listen, there's no contradiction between James and Paul. They're actually very complementary. In fact, James, he's talking about what's the evidence of your faith. You say you have faith, show me your faith. How do we show our faith? Our works. The things that we do are the evidence of our faith. But by the way, Paul said that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Right after he said that we're not saved by works. Right? In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. By the way, Paul says in the book of Titus, he says that we're to be zealous of good works. Well, so there's no contradiction. It's a complement, a complementary situation. And I said this on that first Sunday. It's as if you think about it this way, Paul is dealing with the root while James is dealing with the fruit. In the morning, it was prayer and Bible study session, Brother Ed's over there, and I use an example with him because he was there, and it happened probably 13, 14 years ago. He came here, and he was helping me on a project, and he did that quite a bit back in those days, and he was always helping me with something around the church, and he came in here with a ladder, and it must have been a 100-year-old wooden, rickety, rackety ladder, and I mean, this thing was just, whoo, man, it was not very, it didn't look very sturdy. And we're working on something, and I think we're actually working on some exit signs and some emergency lighting. And he pulled that ladder out, and I just looked at that thing, and I think he could read my mind, right? I'm like, there is no way I'm getting on that ladder. Like, I am much heavier than he is, and that thing is not going to hold me. And Mr. Ed says, oh, it's a good ladder. That thing will hold you. And I'm like, nope, I am not stepping on that ladder. You know, the reality is that what would have revealed that I really believed that that ladder would hold me is if I stepped onto the ladder. Right? Does that make sense? Now, I could stand there all day and say, I believe it will hold me. But how do you know I believe that it will hold me is that I get on the ladder. Does that make sense? And so here we find that the Bible talks about what he obtained, this testimony, that it says that he was righteous. Now, his righteousness was not something that was a result of his works. It was his faith in the offering that he brought. He brought the offering that he did because he believed what God said, and he acted upon what God said, and thus brought this offering. And God says, yes, I accept that. Yes, I'm pleased with that. Yes, that is a more excellent sacrifice. Why? Because you're operating in the faith realm. Does that make sense? And so we're living by faith. We're desiring to see God do great things, and we're desiring to see God work in great ways in our church, in our families, in our lives individually, but we must live by faith. We must take God at His word, and our faith is revealed through our behavior. There was a man years ago that crossed over Niagara Falls. He tightrope walked across Niagara Falls. Now, that's just insanity from my perspective, not something I would do. However, he decided that he would do that, and he tightrope walked across, and he was successful. And he gets all the way to the other side, and he had a wheelbarrow with him, and he had that thing, he pushed that thing, and man, there's a group of people standing there waiting for him, and he got there, and they're applauding him, and they're excited for him, and he made it across, and man, it's wonderful. And then he said, how many of you think I can go to the other side? All of them. They all believed that what they just saw him do coming from that side to this side, that he could do going back. And then he said, okay, one of you get in the wheelbarrow. You know how many volunteers there were? Zero. By the way, if I were there and if you were there, there'd probably still be zero. All right? So did they really believe? I mean, you can argue it if you want, but the reality is that when we come to the faith life, living by faith, we come to God. Listen, God, that man could have failed, but God's never going to fail. God's never going to fail you. And so we just take God at his word. We just live a life of faith. And so we find that is at the end of Hebrews 11 and verse number 4, to wrap it up this evening, we notice this statement is made, and it's important that we grasp this as we finish up this evening. The Bible says at the end of the verse, and by it, by his faith, by his offering that was an offering of faith, it was a more excellent sacrifice, he being dead yet speaketh. Cain didn't like the fact that Abel was accepted. Could I say it this way? Abel was killed because he lived by faith. Abel was killed by his brother because he lived by faith. There have been scores of people, perhaps millions of people throughout the centuries that have been killed because they've simply lived by faith. They live by faith. And what are we saying as we look at the text of Scripture? We're saying this, that others may try to silence you. Others might try to mock you. Others may criticize you and whatever it might be when you live by faith. But we must acknowledge and we must remember this evening that we are never forgotten by God when we live by faith. And our testimony speaks. He, being dead, yet speaketh. Jesus referenced Abel during his earthly ministry. Now we read here in Hebrews 11 and throughout the centuries as we've had the complete canon of Scripture, really as we look at it and we understand the timeline, now we are 6,000 plus years past the event that we're reading of this evening, but you're speaking about a man that lived by faith. He being dead, yet speaketh. I mentioned it last week, maybe the week before, about this year being the 500th year anniversary of the Tyndale New Testament. And William Tyndale had a desire that God's word would be available to the common person in the common language, English. That was his desire. And Tyndale was burned at the stake. They tried to silence him, because he simply tried to live by faith. He wanted to get the Bible into the hands of the common people. The plowboy is one that he referenced specifically. And so we look at this text and we understand, listen, when we live by faith, we're not living by faith so that somebody else could say, oh, look, they're a super faith person. They have this. No, he offered the offering to God. We live by faith. We're living for God. I'm seeking to just take God at his word, believe God. And Abel did that. Abel believed what God said. And Abel found, yes, he faced death, but he has a testimony that still this evening speaks. He obtained this witness, this testimony. And this evening, remember that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I tell you this evening, the reward doesn't always come in a package the way that we might think a reward would come. You know, we have a Bible this evening. Somebody said this, I heard him say it last week. Every single person that's ever been saved in an English New Testament of the Bible, can look back 500 years ago and see the fruit that came from William Tyndale's work. That's phenomenal to think about it that way. Absolutely phenomenal. And so here we are this evening, we're saying, okay, so God is going to reward our faith. That reward doesn't always look like something that we might picture in our mind as being this award and being this reward, but we understand that God doeth all things well. Remember, the psalmist said, it was good for me to be afflicted because then I learned thy statutes. And so not everything that we might look at as being a blessing or everything that we might look at as being an unfortunate circumstance is really that. Sometimes we have tainted glasses. And we find that God, He will reward our faith. You see, yeah, but Abel died. God allowed that to happen. And he has a testimony that's still speaking today. Because by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. We don't have to worry about whatever the people are going to say. We don't have to worry about whatever the consequences from man might be. No, we just determine, I'm going to live a life of faith. Because it's the life of faith that pleases God. And ultimately, my desire, your desire, our desire ought to be, I want to please God. And without faith, it's impossible. So what happens sometimes is we run around as believers thinking, I'm going to please God, I'm going to please God, I'm going to please God, I want to please God with my life, and I'm trying to please God, but I'm not believing His Word. I'm not living by faith. And God's already told us it's impossible. But we're trying to do something that's impossible because we're leaning on our own understanding. We say, well, I don't know how that... No, it's not about... It's just trusting God, believing God by faith. And so this evening we see by faith Abel, he offered and he obtained. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you so much for loving us. I thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, help each one of us to live a life of faith. We see here in the life of Abel how he made an offering. That offering was a more excellent sacrifice, but that offering was the result of his faith in what you said. God, you spoke the word, and he acted in faith, and he brought that offering, and thank you for that testimony. Thank you that though he was killed, he being dead yet speaketh. Thank you for his testimony. God, I pray that we'd have a testimony that would far outlive even our days upon this earth, that we'd be people, men and women of faith, that God, we would see and hear in glory of the impact that that testimony would have on generations that would follow us. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, even as we mentioned to start the service this evening. What a blessing. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And as we enter into our time of prayer this evening, I pray that you would be that you would work, Lord, in each situation, that, Lord, you would just guide us and direct us. Help us, Lord, to please you, and pray that you would work in a distinct way. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's start on the back. Look at the